You have a topic that sounded like it had some urgency, and I want to hear about that, but I wonder, should we do our first follow-up segment ever to talk about garden?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's my garden follow-up. Nope.
That was short and sweet.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, okay, here's what happened. I opened the app for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It asked for access to my contacts, which I assumed it would do, because how else would it work?
Right.
And I granted access to my contacts. And then it showed me the list of my contacts and said, add contacts to this app. We promise we won't send them spam.
It's always unfortunate when a company has to say something like that, because does that make you trust them more or less in your perspective?
Way less.
Yes, right.
So my immediate thought was, okay, what are you going to send my contacts? So I immediately backed out. I went to settings and I revoked contacts access. And then I went to the website for this app to see its privacy policy. And the privacy policy was obviously copied and pasted from myfreeprivacypolicies.com.
Right.
And it was all about your own data. It didn't say anything about the data in your contacts, which was obviously a concern. So I emailed their contact address and I said, hi, I just read your privacy policy, and I noticed that it doesn't say anything about what you're going to do with the data from my contacts. Can you tell me what your policy is for the data that you collect about the contacts that I'm using this app for? And I got no response. So, never use the app. Goodbye. Deleted. And I'm going to have to figure this out, like with OmniFocus, manually or something. I'm not going to be able to do the thing we discussed last time of using this particular app to manage my relationships outside of Facebook and keep up the pace of them. I hope there is one that doesn't have a server component. Like, what possible reason is there for an app like this to upload anything to anywhere?
Yeah.
But this is not it. Garden is not it. Garden is a sketchy app, and I cannot recommend even installing it.
I think it was a good topic discussion solely to help you remember that this is something that matters, and that it's something that you want to do, and you'll probably have to roll your own. I wonder if it has sped that process up a bit and will make you figure out your own process for doing this kind of, I already forgot the name of it. What's the name of it?
Personal relationship management.
There PRM. It is, yeah. PRM. Your own PRM that would have languished on your task manager for a long time without having been actionized. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to do something like go through the contacts in alphabetical order and create some new OmniFocus project and make each one a repeating task and set its interval to its own thing. And once I've got that set up, it will be pretty naturally integrated into the way that I kind of keep track of everything. But setting it up will be quite a chore.
Yeah.
That's why a dedicated app seemed like such a good solution, but oh well.
This made me think that I need to do something like this. I don't think that any system that I build will be quite as rigorous as yours, but I had mentioned that there was somebody that had deleted their Twitter that I no longer talk to. I recently went back to Florida, and there were a few contacts in Florida that I no longer really talk to. And I recognized after that the way that that can come off, and I wanted to make a change for that. And I think for someone like me, there does need to be a reminder in front of my face that says, hey, it's been 3 months. Have you talked to this person? Because I'm sort of future-oriented, present-minded. I don't really think about the past a lot. And because of that, I don't think, oh, what's that person up to? It's been a while. I think, oh, they're probably great. And I will assuredly talk to them at some point in the future, and it'll be good for both of us. But I think the conversation made me understand that that's not quite true. And especially with the world that we live in, the constant sense of connection is more expected. Did you have pen pals when you were younger?
Yeah, I had a few. When I was a kid, we had a sort of organized pen pal thing at school. But I've actually had pen pals as recently as, let's see, I blogged about it. I had a Burning Man World pen pal, somebody who was just like, want to be pen pals? And I was like, yeah. And we actually wrote letters back and forth.
Yeah.
And that was maybe 2010, I think, based on where I lived at the time. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was well into what I would consider my internet correspondence age. and Facebook age too. Mm-hmm. Facebook was not everyone yet. Facebook was only internet users, you know, when that was a subset of everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I remember when I had pen pals, it felt like the natural stopping point for any conversation was whenever you wanted it to be.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel this super urge that I had to respond or check in. Like, it felt good when we did. And I feel like maybe there's been a shift where before, pre-Facebook, pre-social networks, conversations and even relationships had like a natural stopping point where it was okay to let them rest. It was okay to not talk to somebody for a long time. People understood that you had that number of relationships that cannot be crossed. What's that? Doesn't that have a name?
Dunbar's number.
It was just this kind of understood thing that, yeah, you know, I have those people and that person has those people and we're not that person for one another right now, but maybe we will be in the future. But now it's like, that's unacceptable. If I don't talk to somebody, it's a personal slight or a personal offense. And I mean, I don't think that every single person, I don't have that much hubris that I think that every person that I'm not talking to hates my guts and thinks that I hate their guts. But I do think that there are probably a few people who do think that something went wrong when nothing went wrong at all. It's just a different season. And I think that garden made me recognize that I actually do have a part to play in that. If I really do appreciate those people, I can, at the very least, reach out on a semi-annual basis, right? You know, and just say, hey, thinking of you, how's it going? It doesn't take me that much time. I am by no means so busy that I can't do that. And maybe that's the way of the world now. And if you want to have meaningful, good relationships with people, you kind of have to play that game just a little bit.
Sure. What one thing I've also learned about myself in recent years is that I'm very bad at estimating accurately the amount of time it's been since I talked to somebody.
Yeah.
And I way, way, way underestimate how long it's been.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, I learned about this problem from my mom, you know, who keeps like obsessive track of how long it's been since we talked to each other. And I will swear that it has been a week and it will have been a month. And that is, I mean, this is my mom we're talking about. For me and my mom, going a month without speaking to each other is not cool. And I feel badly that I've kind of just breezily assumed that I'm doing it more frequently than I am. So a reminder from a computer that doesn't feel the pain.
Yeah.
A reminder from a computer that just knows what time it is and what day it is.
And how long it's been.
It can snap you back into... time is such a weird, wiggly thing, perceptually. Like, we have such fluid understandings of time. And I'm sure every relationship has its own sense of time, its own flow of time. And, you know, so maybe the problem's worse with someone I've known literally my entire life than it would be with somebody that I am still getting to know. Maybe I would want more frequent interaction to get to know somebody. You know, there's all kinds of unconscious things at play. So it still feels kind of weird and inhuman to come up with some system to solve this problem, some externalized system, instead of just having like genuine insight into relationships in like internally. It feels like human beings should have some sort of organ that's capable of managing this stuff. But there's no need to keep track of it inside. This is what we discussed last time. It's all about making the system as invisible as possible to everyone involved.
That is a good point. You know, this is the thing that I think you and I both love about technology more than anything else, is its ability to augment us in a way that makes us better than we were before.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, a good PRM is definitely going to make you a more mindful person about your relationships. And without that, you are almost certainly going to be worse at reaching out than you will be when you have all of these little checkboxes and recurring tasks set up. So yeah, I mean, I definitely think this is an interesting thing. So keep me updated. I'd love to know how this goes as you bring it into OmniFocus.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to go, right?
Yes, probably. Will do. And I'll keep an eye out also for third-party apps that are not creepy that might be able to solve the problem.
Yeah.
But Building my own system might just be the way that it has to go.
Yeah.
And hopefully there will be generalizable rules about it that I can write down and explain and we can talk about. So that was our first follow-up segment. But in the middle of the week, you sent me a message saying, we need to talk about AirPods on Internet Friends.
Yeah.
And I'm very intrigued to hear why it's so urgent.
Well, it's urgent because they're awesome and because AirPods have become one of those technologies that I can't imagine living without in a weird way. I actually remember very distinctly, I don't remember exactly where I was when AirPods were announced, but almost immediately after the AirPods were announced, I was actually in Europe and I was traveling around Europe, which was very fun. And it was one of those technologies that as soon as somebody said AirPods are going to be a thing, I thought about how much better they were going to make every single moment that I was living in currently and how much I wanted them. I remember, you know, going to the gym and thinking, boy, AirPods would be really good right now as I'm trying to lift this heavy weight and trying to precariously keep this phone in my pocket and this wire into my ears. And thinking that as I was going down the street and doing little simple things that took up some time, like washing the dishes, that I didn't want to go and find my headphones. I notoriously, pre-AirPods, lost my headphones all the time. I never knew where they were. So it wasn't a very helpful thing. It was like a, you know, 10 to 15 minute process to find the headphones. And then I would use them once and then lose them again and then have to repeat. So it wasn't like a convenient thing. And yes, I could have kept them in my pocket, but pre-AirPod headphones were not good to me. I didn't like them. And I have a super distinct memory of being in a train, a night train in Europe, and going from one place to the other and having to decide, this was post headphone jack, pre-AirPods, if I wanted to listen to something or if I wanted to charge my phone, and thinking, yeah, this is bad. Like I would like a solution. And even if I could do both at once, I wish that I had AirPods in the situation, because it would be so nice to have a little thing in my ear as I fell asleep on this weird train in this kind of uncomfortable environment. It would be nice to have something that distracted me and didn't distract anyone else around me. And I feel like I have that sometimes with technology, like, you know, the iPhone 10, when I didn't have that, I thought, oh, that would be really nice not to have the home button. And you think about it sometimes. But there has never been a technology in my life that delivered so clearly on my fantasizing about the product after it had been announced. And I don't know how much you've been following it, especially since you're a bit more disconnected from the internet journalist world than I am. But I mean, have you been following the sort of critical consensus of the AirPod over the last 2 years, however long it's been since they've been released?
I haven't seen anything overly controversial. I'm only subscribed really to hardcore Apple people, although, and though some of them are skeptical and critical people, the consensus about AirPods seems to be, well, that's the best thing Apple's made in 20 years. Next question. So are you saying that there's an upswell of objection to AirPods going on somewhere?
I don't know if you remember, but no one seemed to really appreciate the AirPods when they were announced. You know, that's going to fall out of your ears. They look pretty dumb. They were a pretty controversial thing. It was one of those weird products that for the first 48 hours after they were released, everyone had to verify that it didn't do the thing that everyone was afraid it was going to do. I can't necessarily think of any other examples of that off the top of my head, but I feel like that happens sometimes where every single person on Twitter, every single journalist, every single blogger has to write an article that says it does or it does not do this thing that you're worried that it does. Mm-hmm. And there was multiple GIFs and videos of people putting the AirPods in their ears and
shaking their heads. And yeah, I kind of remember that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, that to me was not a super great example of product happiness. It was a lot of criticism and people being upset about it. And I just feel like it over fulfilled every single promise that it made and doesn't really come with a lot of compromise. You don't have any AirPods, do you?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Do you have AirPods and Beats, or am I just misremembering that?
Yeah, okay. I have both.
That's why. I couldn't remember that.
The reason I bought the Studio 3 Beats was because of how amazing an experience I was having switching the AirPods between devices. I've been going through for a long time some agony about how much I listen to podcasts versus music. And that my entire life owning a computer has been about curating this music collection that's now
languishing.
No, it's not languishing. I'm still adding things to it. It's just, well, I guess its curation is not languishing. Its curation is as vital and alive as ever, but I'm not playing the songs
right
anywhere near as much as I was. And it's because I'm filling all my time with podcasts. And it was in a phase of listening to even more podcasts that the AirPods were announced and came out. And so that was how I knew immediately that I would want them. But as this music thing started to develop and I started to realize I wasn't listening to music, I began to wonder why. And I started to realize that music would not sound like anywhere close to how I like music to sound on the headphones that I was using 100% of the time, let's be honest. Before AirPods came out, I had Bluetooth headphones. I was already over wires way before AirPods came out, and those headphones were terrible too. But this is all because I was listening to podcasts so much of the time that quality wasn't really so much of an issue. But as soon as the Beats Studio 3 was announced, I realized, oh, I could get headphones that sound great for music that are as easy to use and amazing as AirPods. And I was not disappointed. They are just as great as AirPods. I love them just as much. Mm. And the battery lasts so long, even with, I mean, it's noise. These are active noise canceling headphones that are connected over wireless Bluetooth, and they last more than a day. I've been on long flights, like flights from Israel to California,
right,
and the headphones have worked the entire time. So Beats Studio 3 is like everything you love about AirPods packed into headphones that are made for great sound quality. And so I'm using them almost equally now. I don't take Beats out for exercise, but everything I'm doing at home with headphones on, I use the Beats inside.
There was a really interesting article that was written a while ago called AirPods and the Three Stages of Apple Criticism by this guy named Jonathan Kim.
I think I read that. It wasn't that long ago.
It was a good article that basically just said that this sort of helps you understand how Apple criticism goes. And it's a single journalist going from writing an article about how much she hates the AirPods to writing an article about how the AirPods are really successful because Apple users are bad, but they're still a bad product, to writing an article a year and a half after his first article saying, oh, they're actually extremely good headphones.
Yeah, it's like the stages of grief.
Yes, absolutely. The article is well written because it doesn't try to dunk on this guy and make him look like an idiot. It's saying, I mean, this is sort of par for the course. This is what happens. And it's actually remarkable that this person was able to change his perspective and actually admit it. But I have not heard a single bad thing about AirPods in quite a long while, even from people who are not Apple people, which I think is a huge victory. And it's because of how good they are and how much they do and how they sort of change reality, which is a big thing to say about a headphone. But I don't think that I can really overstate it. I think that they are a very important piece of Apple, like you have often talked about, sort of taking over your body and making you into something that's a bit different than you were before.
Yeah.
I have said to you a few times via like text message that I often have an AirPod in my ear, and quite often it's not playing anything. I actually don't think they look terrible. I think that you might disagree with me. I think that you don't love the way they look.
They look the way they have to look.
Yeah.
The problem is that people don't know how to wear them. I see them everywhere. I see them every day. Mm-hmm. I see 10 pairs of AirPods a day. I pass people when I'm walking with my AirPods and they're wearing AirPods. It's more prevalent than Apple Watch is.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, like, I'm in an area full of people who are eligible for both products. If you've got AirPods, you are a potential Apple Watch wearer. And I see way more AirPods. And yes, there's a price difference, but it's still half the price. I mean, you know, AirPods are what, around $150, something like that. You can get an Apple Watch for not that much more than that, I think, at this point. And so AirPods are obviously way more compelling to people. But what they do is they just put them in their ear however they fit. And so they've got the little stick ends, like, kind of
sticking out
in asymmetrical all over the place directions, and they look absolutely absurd.
A little antennae.
Yeah. And you know, what I do when I put them in is I put them in with my finger on that part, and like when they're in is when that part is against my face. So, you know, that's part of putting them on. I still think that looks absurd, but it's worth it in a lot of ways because these are not just headphones. Like, headphones are a thing that we were used to, but headphones were something that you were using for one-way interaction with some form of media, which is, I want media coming out of a device and going into my head. And when I don't have that, I need to take them off because they look weird and they are covering my ears. Mm-hmm. But they also were this signal sometimes of like, don't talk to me. Don't approach me. I have headphones on. I'm out of the world. And I think that AirPods really do change that equation because they're a two-way interface and they don't cover your entire ear the way that the look of headphones used to. And like the whole white earbuds with the cable coming down, that was a big branding thing for Apple. But this is different. Like people are talking with AirPods in. They're being in the world differently, just like you're saying. It's a new interface. I think that as time goes on, they will be as fundamental to the interface as whatever vision component, this mythical AR glasses thing we keep referring to and assuming will be the next paradigm. I think that those two components of the wearable future are going to be equally important.
Yeah. I watched Spider-Man Homecoming a couple days ago, and I don't know if you saw it or not. I bring it up because there was a scene in there where Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., is having a conversation with the Peter Parker character. And he's at some wedding in India. He's like at a party on the other side of the world and having this conversation without having a phone in his hand because he's Tony Stark and has all the new technology. And he does not have an AirPod in his ear either. He has transcended everything and probably has some weird implant, or it's all in his pair of very cool looking glasses, or I don't know how they make it work in the movie. But I watched this scene where everyone's walking around him and he's staring into nothing and having a conversation with somebody that isn't there. And I thought, you know what? We're actually getting to the point where that's not going to be awkward soon. Mm-hmm. Like, we've had Bluetooth headsets for, I mean, how long?
I don't know.
15 years?
Yeah.
A long time.
Longer than we've had iPhones.
Exactly. And I have never once felt comfortable without something in my hand talking to somebody on the street. I have actually, in the past, when I've had like a serious conversation that I really don't want to be bothered by, if I had a pair of headphones or something, either took them out and used the phone up against my face, or literally sometimes people were walking by, just put the phone up to my face, a non-functioning phone up to my face to indicate to people, I am on the phone right now. Don't look at me like I'm crazy or ask me what I'm doing because, you know, it has not worked. And I mean, still, even with AirPods, I have an office on the side of a pretty busy road, and sometimes I'll go outside to not bother my coworkers and have a conversation on AirPods. And actually, my coworker does as well. And sometimes some very old people will come by and say, is that a Bluetooth headset? Like, are you on the phone right now? So we're still not quite there where everyone in society says, yes, of course this person is having a conversation right now. That is totally normal and natural. But I think that AirPods have pushed that forward further than any other piece of technology that I can think of. Mm-hmm. Certainly more than a wired set of headphones. And I don't know if that's because of convenience, like the AirPods are on you at all times and maybe headphones weren't, or just because it feels better. But regardless, it's a thing. And I think that that's just one example of all of the ways that the AirPods are changing our perceptions about what it means to have a speaker and a microphone up against your head at basically all times.
I think the quality is also better. I think that that might be convenience as far as carrying is definitely a factor. But I think that the real convenience is how easy it is to switch from isolated phone mode to phone extended by AirPods mode.
Yeah.
That if you get a call, you actually have time to put them in your ear and then pick up the call.
Right.
And then the connection will happen seamlessly and the call quality will be great. And I think that that kind of thing makes people trust the technology more. I've had two interactions in public where people thought it was super weird. One was just because I was talking very animatedly and excitedly because I was using AirPods to take a call on an LTE watch for the first time.
Ah.
So I was having a crystal clear phone call without a phone, and like with nothing in my pockets and nothing in my hands. And I was just like waving my arms around and talking like the person was there with me. The only thing that I couldn't do was see the person.
Right.
And somebody was like, who are you talking to, man? You know, like it was like almost a sanity check.
Right.
The one other weird interaction that I've had was I was just walking and just wearing them. And this lady that I was walking past made this face like she saw a ghost and whipped her phone out and took a picture of me. And it was a very interesting interaction.
Great.
It was a big yellow Android phone, or maybe it was like in a yellow case. It was like a big old phone. And I'm not judging the phone or the person. I'm only pointing out that it was not an Apple device. So it was probably someone who had no idea what she was looking at. And I stopped. I felt really self-conscious in the situation because I didn't want to threaten this person. But she had just taken a picture of me without my consent, and like I didn't really like the feeling of that. So I stopped, I turned around, and I said, "Did you just take a picture of me?" And she said, "Yes, I did." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "I don't have to tell you why. It's my phone. I can do what I want with my phone." And at that point, I was like, okay. She was like, "You take pictures of people with your phone all the time, I bet." I was like, "No, actually, I don't do that. I don't think that's okay to do." But I was just curious, really. And she didn't explain what she was taking a picture of. And so I didn't know what it was. And then like 20 minutes later, I realized that I had ear pods in my ear. She had no idea what they were. But the look on her face was not like the look you give somebody who is funny looking. It was like a "what is that" kind of look. And the fact that she was using a smartphone indicated to me that she probably glimpsed some like understandable future in what she was seeing. Like she got the idea that like this thing was probably connected to my phone somehow, just without wires, and they weren't those ridiculous Bluetooth things that like the ones I used to have that have like a dangling rubber wire behind your head connecting them to each other. So, you know, there was at least some recognition in that moment.
That's still weird.
Yeah, it was super weird. But, you know, that was a few months ago. And like the number of AirPods that I've seen has definitely increased since then.
If she's still cataloging all the AirPod users, she's got a pretty full gallery at this point.
Exactly. She's probably gotten bored of them by now. I was pretty lucky with the timing that AirPods came out. I know they were extremely hard to find, but I was living in Israel when they came out. My first reaction when I saw the announcement was, oh man, I'm never going to get these. You know, I'm going to have to wait a whole year to get these. Because there are no Apple stores in Israel.
Right.
And so there are these third-party stores like they used to have before there were Apple stores in the U.S., like licensed resellers or whatever, like in a mall. And I went to the mall, and all of the technology that they had was years old. Like, they did not have any new devices. So I had given up. But then I was at the airport in Tel Aviv, and I went to the electronics store at the airport on my first flight back to the States after they came out, which was only a couple of months after they came out. And I had been reading about how impossible they were to get. I asked if they had them, and they totally did. So I got AirPods very, very early, and I had them for a whole flight. That was my first experience using them, was on a flight, a long, like, around the world flight. And it was such a revelation. I knew immediately when I saw them announced, like, I'm going to use those all the time, all day long.
Do you have any criticisms of AirPods? Like, is there something that you would love to see in a version 2?
You know, the funny thing about my criticisms of Apple hardware these days is that everyone's criticism of Apple hardware these days is that they're really Siri criticism. That, like, if Siri was good, Siri is good enough for me to use it all day. But if I could ask it questions about, like, things that I have to search the web for, I would do that all day and not look at a screen while I was asking basic questions, which I know that Google users can do. And I could do that if I would launch the Google app. But I, you know, it's just not, like, when I'm walking around, that's not what I want to do. And I really wish that I could do that. But that's not a problem with AirPods. Invoking Siri with AirPods is easy. It's a software problem. I wear them for meetings since I'm conferencing in to meetings all the time. So I have them connected to my Mac a fair amount of the time. And I go through the battery every time before the meeting's over for like an hour and a half, 2 hour meeting that will use up the battery. But what I started doing is when I get the first battery warning, I take one out and put it in the case.
Yeah.
And then I use the one, and then I swap back and forth.
Right.
And it charges fast enough, actually, that in really long meetings, I've been able to get them both back up to like a pretty full charge and then use both for a while. So it's still pretty amazing. I wouldn't really criticize. I mean, look at these things. I'm not going to criticize the battery.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And combined with the fact that the case battery lasts forever, there's really nothing about that I can complain about. The sound quality is fine. The microphone quality is, I mean, there's a few sketchy connect, like Bluetooth things left, I feel like. I lose the connection some of the time. I think it's just as much about handoff kinds of things, like Apple devices passing information back and forth between each other about what things are connected to. Like, if I just had one device that I was using them with all the time, I doubt I would have as many problems. I would definitely, I mean, if the AirPower mat ever does exist, I would definitely get the case to charge them on the mat instead of plugging them in. But that's still not a big deal. You know, no, I really, maybe some darker colors. that's probably all I can imagine.
that I would want to change? I guess the answer is no. Do you?
No, exactly. I mean, it's all the things that you've just said. I would like it to be better, a little better, at everything that it does really well already, because I assume that it can be. I would like the battery to last longer, but it's already really long. I would like the quality to be better, but it's already great. I would like it to connect even easier to my different devices. It's not the easiest. It is so extremely easy compared to going into settings and Bluetooth and pairing and all of the stuff I used to have to do. But it still is. It takes. There's a little bit of lag sometimes trying to switch my AirPods between my iPhone and my iPad, which is unpleasant, but by no means a deal breaker. I do it consistently. So no, I mean, they're perfect. Like, I think that they're so good.
My hope is that AirPlay 2 actually is going to affect that connection time.
Oh, that'd be nice. So I think for me, maybe a good way of describing how I feel about AirPods is similar to how I felt about the first iPhone, which is that when I had the iPhone for the first time, and we have talked about a little of this, it sort of unlocked a new way of interacting with the world for me, especially in moments of free time that would have otherwise been quote-unquote wasted. I have a really vivid memory of sitting in a waiting room on my college campus and having to just wait for a long time for some meeting. And before the iPhone, there was nothing to do except sit there and wait or pick up a magazine, or if I'd brought something along like homework, do it. And post iPhone, I had, I think it was Calibre, a really early ebook app on my iPhone, loaded up with a bunch of ebooks, and I started reading a book. And this was in that time where staring at your tiny screen for hours on end was not a normal thing. And I remember, just like you got some weird looks with your AirPods recently, I remember getting weird looks having an iPhone in my hand and staring into it for a while, doing a task that was not opening contacts and making a phone call immediately. Like, that is what you did with a phone before the iPhone came out.
Right.
And I started doing new things with my iPhone all the time that I hadn't been able to do before. And then, of course, the whole world shifted, right? And now the whole world does that. And whether or not that's for good or for bad is kind of up for debate, I guess. Like, is it good that we stare into these screens and waste our time? Well, I think I just played my hand and told you how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But is it good that in a grocery store line we can check the news? Like, I can't say whether or not that's a good or a bad thing for the world, but it is a different thing. And in the same way that it sort of unlocked opportunity to do something for me when I first had an iPhone, I feel very similar about AirPods.
Sure.
It's the same kind of thing, right? Before the iPhone, I could have carried around a book, but I didn't. And before the AirPods, I could have carried around headphones, but I didn't. And now I do. I don't know how much stuff you keep on you, but I mean, my pocket is, I can't even think of what they're called. Not a wallet, but you know, just the little... Well, tiny, what's the equivalent of a money clip, but cooler?
I don't know. I carry a big, stupid RFID or whatever, you know, radio impervious security wallet, so I don't know anything about cool wallets.
Yeah, mine is just a very slim card carrier, you know, that sits in my front pocket, has like two cards in it and my ID, and then my key. That is it. I have an August lock on my front door because I don't want two keys.
Yeah.
I want a key in my pocket. So pocket space is precious to me. I don't put a lot of stuff in there. But I mean, day one, AirPods, a third thing was added and will be there forever and has been there every day. And I'm so thankful for it.
Until you don't need to charge them until you get home.
Until they're smaller or different and even better. So yeah, I mean, it's a totally different thing. Just like I was reading books when the iPhone came out, I immediately started downloading audiobooks when the AirPods came out. And I think I'd probably only listened to one or two audiobooks in my entire life before the AirPods. They just weren't really a thing that I had gotten into. It felt jarring to start and stop them. I felt like I had to do a lot to like make that medium work for me. But oh, now I have AirPods, and I open Audible or an audiobook app, and I put an AirPod in my ear, and I push play. And if I push play for 10 minutes, if I push play for an hour, it doesn't really matter. And within a few weeks of having AirPods, I realized that I had listened to like 40 hours of audiobooks, and that was something I just wouldn't have done before. So it's one of those things where the difference between what headphones were like before AirPods for me and what headphones were like after AirPods for me wasn't that different. But it was that the cognitive load of the simple process of finding and putting headphones in my ears was so great to me that it just didn't happen. And having this thing that does it better and actually has quite a few more use cases for me has changed it. And now I would have never considered a pair of headphones to be like a part of me. But I kind of weirdly do consider AirPods to be an extension of me, just like I would consider my Apple Watch, just like I would consider my phone. So it does feel augmenting in a way that feels very significant. And I think that we will look back on the AirPod and say, yeah, that was definitely the beginning of this new thing, more than some other technologies were.
It was the iPhone of the second decade of the 21st century.
Exactly, exactly.
I think we will look at it that way, absolutely. Actually, just yesterday, I had more of a this is part of me experience than I had had yet with AirPods, because there's some intense stuff going on at work right now. Team, I'm on the communications team, so like we have to respond to situations. And we have this kind of war room thing that we get into when we need to prepare for something that's coming. And this is a really big one. And so I was on a call, a Google Meet, whatever Hangout Meet thing, whatever they're called now.
Whatever it's called in 2018.
Yeah.
Quarter two 2018.
Yes, exactly. But it was a really good one because they now finally have like a dedicated Mac Mini or something in the room that we use that's got a hard line to the internet. And so I was basically seated at the table with my team for this long, long, long meeting. And I was still in my house, you know, and it was lunchtime and they were all getting lunch. People were bringing lunch to them. Mm-hmm. We were in this total lockdown situation. And I didn't have the ability to get lunch from my coworkers, but I cook lunch at home. So I said, is it okay if I bring my computer into my kitchen right now and make lunch? And they were all like, of course. So I unplugged my Mac, I brought it into the kitchen, and I was on AirPods the whole time. And I'm used to that feeling of like, okay, I can carry a computer with a camera on it into another room and we can stay in a sort of spatial relationship with each other. But I wasn't used to the part where as I'm puttering around the kitchen cooking, the sound is still there and I can still talk to them. Mm. And it wasn't like a 3D realistic experience of being in the room because the microphone that they were talking to me through was stationary, but they were still coming with me and they could see me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like there's stuff sizzling in the kitchen and I realized, and I wasn't muting my mic because I've got my hands full. And so at one point I realized I was making a lot of noise and I said, because everybody was typing. I said, if my noise is getting annoying, just tell me. And they were all like, no, it's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like it's nice to like participate in this with you.
Yeah.
One person said, it reminds me that you're there.
Right.
You know, this is a very touching thing. The AirPods were kind of the emotional channel for me to participate in this thing from 300 miles away. And it was really profound.
On the other side of this, there have been times in my relationship with my wife where we have been apart from each other and actually like fallen asleep on the phone with each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's maybe not the most uncommon experience where you're talking to somebody and it's going late into the night. And, you know, we have these devices now where we can do that. We can just keep them on forever and let them continue to be used while we are unconscious.
Yeah.
And passed out beside them. When I was first dating my wife, she actually lived in Australia, and this was pre-iPhone. I had met her in Florida, and then immediately after meeting her, she moved to Sydney, Australia, about as far away as you can get from Florida, with a big time change and big problems, because, like I said, there was no FaceTime. There was Skype, but Skype was not easy to use. And I remember trying to have some phone calls with her and them being extremely expensive, even though I wasn't doing like long distance calling. I was using weird third party apps and Google Voice, but you still had to like pay for international calls on Google Voice.
I remember those days.
Exactly. It was a strange time. And so the thought of using technology to just be with somebody for a long period of time was actually unthinkable. And that wasn't that long ago. That was like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And now you could totally do that. And as you were talking about that desire to just have the nice feeling of someone else in the room, it really does make me recognize that as this technology becomes more subtle and with you and present, your ability to be present with other people has increased so far. You can just be in the room with somebody else. You can turn a FaceTime phone call on and put an AirPod in your ear and go about your day and not have to worry about racking up a long distance bill or a data bill or running down some battery. These barriers just don't exist anymore. And, you know, for me now, I mean, you know, my wife and I no longer live on other sides of the planet, so I don't need to figure out how to talk to her. But there are people that are in relationships, just like I was, that are definitely using AirPods and definitely using FaceTime in really special ways. And I just don't think that you can overstate the way that this kind of technology shapes relationship and shapes connectivity. Because the more out of the way that it feels, the more connected it feels to you, the more we're able to be with each other, which I think is kind of the whole point.
FaceTime is a really special thing. It's funny because it's been around for long enough that it feels like it might be too late to talk about it this way, but it really, really isn't. FaceTime has had really profound effects on my wife's and my life in the last year in two situations. The first was that she was in Hawaii with me and my family. We had a big combination of my 30th birthday and my mom's 60th birthday. And there was a lot of stuff we were celebrating. We decided to all get together and go to Hawaii. And while we were there, Ariel's grandmother passed away.
Oh, wow.
She had been not well for a long time, and she was, you know, there was a lot of caretaking going on, and it was still kind of sudden, and, you know, we couldn't predict the timing. And there was this scramble of, like, can I get there? Can I get to Philadelphia from Hawaii in time? You know, Jewish people do this stuff very quickly. So, you know, it was going to have to be, like, leave immediately. And it turned out that there was no viable option to get there in time. She was unable to get there. So it was really hard for us because, you know, I wanted her to stay. It was at the beginning of the trip still. Like, I wanted her to be there, but I also wanted her to be with her family, obviously. And, you know, at some point we came up with the idea of doing FaceTime into the funeral, and no one in her family hesitated.
Yeah.
And suddenly we were on an iPhone and they were passing us around and we could hear everything. Ariel was able to participate in the memorial by speaking.
Wow.
And FaceTiming. Wow. Thousands of miles across. And then my parents were able to participate because they were with us. And it was a beautiful thing. And even the part of, like, who's going to carry John and Ariel to the graveside was beautiful. You know, we were being passed between different members of the family and family friends. And it was really sweet. It was very real. We were really there in a way that I think I'm just going to not even make a distinction between being there digitally and being there physically.
Absolutely.
That was just one. There was something we needed to tell our whole family at once recently. And we had this important contingent of family members at the table. And then we needed to FaceTime in my brother and both sets of parents. And we had, of course, because this is 2018, plenty of devices on hand.
Right.
To get a bunch of FaceTime calls together. There's no way to do, like, a group FaceTime call. We could have done a meet, you know, or whatever, use some other service. Mm-hmm. But, like, that was just not going to happen. So we got everybody on their own FaceTime calls on their own devices. But we were still able to hold these devices up in the room. And they could hear each other and see each other through two iPhones pointed at each other. And we were able to share this whole experience with 11 people. There were 11 people participating in this, and only five of them were in a room together.
I don't think it's a mistake that we began this episode talking about personal relationship management.
Yeah.
And have changed topic to a headphone, and yet are still talking about personal relationship management.
Yep.
Because to me, and I think to you, that is what's beautiful about technology, is it's knocking down the walls that usually would have kept us apart from each other.
Yep.
And I mean, that is you and I, you know, like, I am so thankful that you and I get to talk to each other, even though I have seen you in person, like, mm-hmm. twice. Ever. And yet, you know, that doesn't matter anymore.
Once since we started the show together.
Exactly. That hasn't mattered for a long time.
Yeah.
The only real barrier that technology can't quite solve is just how much actual time you have in the day.
Right.
And how many people you can possibly talk to. But all of the rest of the stuff, location and anything that has to do with presence, is really removed. And whether it's messaging each other through a text message, talking over email, having phone calls, having a big moment together, or just checking in, like, you can do that now. And it's only going to get better and more interesting to me as the ways of communicating become more natural to do digitally, and the devices that we have become even more geared towards this. The AirPods are an example of that. Your ability to have a conversation with just your watch is an example of that. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have my MacBook plugged into a wall and Skype running to talk to somebody anymore. You can just do that.
You don't even need to look at anything. You can just say into the air, "Hey, Dingus, call Drew,"
yeah,
and then you're talking.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's what's so cool. And to me, the AirPods are a marked expression of that convenience and that shift towards a future where that's more possible. And yes, I can listen to an audiobook, and yes, I can listen to a podcast, and maybe those are isolating events, but just as much as I have those things, I have things that connect me and allow me to communicate. And devices that both allow you to have a private moment and a communal moment are so significant, and I think my favorite kinds of technologies.
Yeah, and don't worry, by the time our grandchildren are our age, we'll all be able to upload into some sort of compressed time environment, and then we won't have to worry about how much time there is in a day anymore. And we won't even have to communicate because we will be merged together into a single kind of experience, giant human singularity. Well, then podcasts will be obsolete.